evening. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse, and you are listening to Wellness Lehigh Valley. I am your host, Sally Hanlon. Wellness is important to a balanced lifestyle, and more, we as humanity are figuring out how certain elements can lead to positive results. From mental health to environment, including all things that can affect your wellness, I am happy to invite you into conversations on ways to improve and think differently about wellness in the Lehigh Valley. And tonight, I hope some of you will discover, maybe not all of you, will discover something that I was unaware of, and that was our community health centers here in the Lehigh Valley. Since the nation's first community health center opened in 1965, expansion of federally supported health center systems are now exceeding over 1,500 organizations, and it's created an affordable health care option for nearly 34 million people. And you'll be surprised to learn how many people in the Lehigh Valley are using the systems that we have. Serving at least 1 in 10 people nationwide and at least 1 in 5 rural residents, health centers provide care to all patients regardless of ability to pay. And we have all been through a lot of chaos this year with a lot of things happening federally and locally, and affordable health care, can it continue in this era of budget cuts? And if we want to continue it, how do we help it? And that's what my guests are here tonight to talk about. We have Richard Masters, who is founder and CEO of MCS Industries and also founder of Unfinished Business. Richard, thank you for coming again.
Very happy to be here. Thanks.
This is what, our third show or
yes,
maybe fourth
yes.
even.
And, yeah. I really appreciate the work that WDIY is doing to inform our population of the Lehigh Valley and on these critical issues.
And you too. I mean, your documentaries have been terrific, so thank you. And joining with Richard is Veronica Gonzalez, who is Chief Executive Officer of Valley Health Partners of Lehigh Valley. Welcome, Veronica.
Thanks for having me.
What I'm going to ask you both to do is to give a little bit of a more detailed introduction to your background. Now, Richard, even though you've been here, let's remind people of things that you have done and where your advocacy has come from in the area of health and social wellness, all that kind of stuff. And then Veronica will ask you to share, okay?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm an elder statesman, I should say. I'm the chairman of MCS Industries, which is a consumer products company headquartered in Easton, Pennsylvania. I was born in Easton. I have a background in economics and law. And early in my career, I was a civil rights lawyer with the United States Department of Justice and then migrated into the business community and have a relatively successful consumer products company in Easton, Pennsylvania, which is our headquarters. We've taken a serious interest in community issues, principally healthcare. We've done through our Unfinished Business Foundation, we've done 4 documentaries on the healthcare system, including the most recent one, a study of hospitals in the United States. I have particular interest in what's going on in our local healthcare systems, and that led to a concern about the plight of the federally qualified health centers, which are the subject, I guess, for today's discussion.
Absolutely. Yeah, I want more of our listeners to become aware of what they are and where they are here in the Lehigh Valley. And on that, Veronica, why don't you give us a little bit about your background? I was very impressed with what you've been able to do in a very short time.
Thank you. Sure. So Veronica Gonzalez, CEO of Valley Health Partners Community Health Center. I've been in that role since our inception in 2020. My background's always been in healthcare, so about 22 years now in healthcare. 15 of those years, I worked at Lehigh Valley Health Network, where I had leadership roles overseeing several community-based practices programs, many that are now under Valley Health Partners. I'm a local gal. I was born in Puerto Rico, but moved here to the Valley when I was 6 years old. Actually, it's right here on the south side of Bethlehem. And so I really enjoy giving back to the community that's been there for me.
Thank you both again for taking the time to be here this evening. So, Veronica, let's start with you and let's inform our listeners about the status of Lehigh Valley Community Health Centers, what you can share about, you know, what's happening at yours and maybe the other 2 centers, your awareness of some of the things there. Things like how many centers or how many people use them, where the geographic coverage is.
Yeah, so we have three community health centers here in the Valley, and you'll hear the term federally qualified health centers or community health centers. The same thing, you'll hear them both interchangeably. We service collectively about 110,000 members of the
wow.
community. So Valley Health Partners, we are multi-county, so we serve both Northampton, Lehigh, as well as Monroe County, and we're actually the very first community health center in Monroe County. We've been there for about a year now. Actually, okay. this week is a year. And then we have Star Community Health, also a pretty large health center that services Allentown, Bethlehem, and Easton. And then Neighborhood Health Centers of the Lehigh Valley, they're the original FQHC, so they've been around for over a decade and are also in Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton, servicing about 10,000 members of the community. We all focus on primary care and prevention. That's the movement of community health centers. Since our inception in the 1960s, it's been about upstream work, addressing root causes of poor health, prevention, chronic disease management, social drivers of health. So that's what we all do as a collective here in the Valley.
Okay. And so are you still associated with Lehigh Valley Hospital? Is STAR a part of St. Luke's? And what about the other centers? Do you work with all the hospitals? How does that work?
Yeah. So community health centers are independent organizations. We are federally governed. So while Valley Health Partners is independent, we do partner closely with our hospital partner, LVHN, now part of Jefferson Health. And that's an excellent model for the community because community health centers are focusing on outpatient, primary care prevention. But when our patients need higher acute care needs, then we work with our hospital partner. So STAR is also independent, but they do work with their hospital partner at St. Luke's. And we work with all hospitals, quite frankly. If our patients want to be seen elsewhere, that's okay. It's their choice. And NHCLV also partners with all the health systems.
And what are the requirements to access the centers?
The goal of community health centers is to provide high-quality health care to all, and that's really the beauty of them. That was their mission from day one. For us at Valley Health Partners, we see patients from all walks of life. We have a strong street medicine program, and we take care of our on-house neighbors. And we also see patients coming into our four walls who really have no socioeconomic barriers, but they like the care that we provide. And so we have an individualized approach where depending where you are, we meet you where you are. You may need more wraparound support, and others are just coming in, they get their health care, and they can go back home. But anyone can reach us.
Oh, interesting. That's amazing, because you could probably go just about anywhere in the Lehigh Valley, Monroe, and find, wonderful,
yeah.
wonderful. Because we have three that are sort of focused on the greater Lehigh Valley, and I know, Richard, this is probably something you're thinking about as well, is there an opportunity for all of them to work together to some extent? I mean,
yeah.
110 is a lot, but there's probably a lot more people who could utilize your services.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do work together. So NHCLV, STAR, Valley Health Partners, we actually meet on a bi-monthly basis, all of our executive leadership, and we have partnerships already in place. So for example, Valley Health Partners, we take care of the high-risk OB patients from NHCLV since they offer low-risk OB care. We provide nutrition counseling, medical specialty services to their patients. We partner for vision services. We have two school-based health clinics at Valley Health Partners in the Allentown School District, and many of our kiddos have established care with STAR. So we provide care coordination with STAR Community Health because we're not there to take over SRPCP, but we can provide real-time acute care and behavioral health services in the school setting.
PCP.
Primary care provider.
Okay.
And all the acronyms in healthcare.
Yeah. Well, healthcare is a lot, too. Yeah. So, Richard, with your background in sort of social justice and social concerns and what's going on with the budget and things these days, how have these centers been funded? How can they be funded going forward? What are your concerns? Because you certainly have a perspective that's like really from the inside.
Well, I have an economic perspective, and we're really a really critical point in the future of community health in the Lehigh Valley. The financing of these organizations, where does the resources come to pay for the facilities and the professionals and all the administration that's required? Together, these centers do about $110 million in revenue in the Valley, and they employ hundreds of people here. Most of the money that is needed to run the centers come from the services that they provided, from reimbursements, and a big bulk of that is from the Medicaid program. Over 40%, close to 45%, I guess, of your revenue, Veronica, is from Medicaid. And what we're concerned about in that regard is that there's proposed cutbacks in the number of Medicaid insureds given the work requirements and some of the administration, the re-upping of applications, which are going to also cut back the number of people. There are millions of people that are expected, upwards of 5-6 million people that are expected to be taken off the Medicaid rolls, which means that a principal component of the population that's being served by these centers are going to come to the centers with no insurance and with little income to pay for the services that are provided. The centers will treat them, but the revenue base of the centers will go down. And that's a concern because these centers are independent businesses. They're nonprofit. They're charitable organizations, but they need a flow of revenue coming in. In addition to that, there are going to be a number of folks who lose their ACA, Affordable Care Act, subsidies, or they will not be able to afford what is projected to be a doubling of the amount of money that they're currently paying for their insurance, their component of the insurance. Yeah. So the subsidies will go down. So there's another 4 to 5 million people who may pour into these centers across the country because they will not have insurance. They will not have the resources to pay. So what we are looking at is our centers here, if you look at their 990 tax returns and they're required to file them every year, you see that they're either modestly profitable or modestly unprofitable. They're making, across the country, around 1.5% bottom line income, and that is going to turn into the red. There's a concern. The other avenue, the source of revenue for these organizations, comes from the Department of Health and Human Services, an organization called HRSA, Health Resources Service Administration, which receives monies via congressional budgets and bills, and have traditionally given $5-6 billion in grants to these local organizations as subsidies for infrastructure, for facilities, and even for some personnel. That money is uncertain at this point. There's been continuing legislation to continue the monies that are going to be provided up to, I think it's October, but there is no provision in the big, beautiful bill for these monies to continue, and that's also a significant concern. So what are we going to do in the Lehigh Valley for these organizations? Is there a philanthropic response to this shortfall? Is there going to be local government or state government that's going to step in? This is an unresolved, pretty murky situation that I think we've got to wake up and do something and plan.
And we've got to deal with it. And listeners, I want you to think about that because we're going to take a short break right now and we'll come back and talk some more about that. But you're listening to Wellness Lehigh Valley with our guest, Veronica Gonzalez, Chief Executive Officer, Valley Health Partners of the Lehigh Valley, and Richard Master, founder and CEO of MCS Industries, Inc., and founder of Unfinished Business Foundation. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100 or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to our Wellness Lehigh Valley Discourse program. We are talking about community health centers here in our Lehigh Valley, the who, what, why, and hows, with our guest, Veronica Gonzalez, CEO of Valley Health Partners of the Lehigh Valley, and Richard Master, founder and CEO of MCS Industries, Inc., and founder of Unfinished Business Foundation. And before we went to break, we were talking about the health centers and the funding of the health centers, whether they're federally qualified, look-alike, federally qualified, how are they funded, and with all the changes that are going on in our federal budget and some local budgets because of that, these areas are somewhat getting squeezed, but they provide such wonderful services. And when I was researching, I was amazed at what Veronica's business does cover, and I want her to share that with you because as I was not knowing about this network, I'm sure many of you, our listeners, are not aware of them as well.
Yeah, so we have a vast array of services. We focus on primary care prevention. So from a primary care standpoint, we have everything from internal medicine, family medicine, pediatrics. We also have women's health, OBGYN. We're actually one of the largest women's health providers in the state from a community health center standpoint. We also have dental and vision, psychiatry, behavioral health. We have medical specialties. So we have a multi-specialty clinic at our 17th Street campus that's near many of our primary care practices, where we have dermatology, podiatry, cardiology, neurology, pulmonology, gastroenterology, so that we have this comprehensive one-stop shop model for our community. We also have chiropractic medicine. We have a street medicine program where we take care of our unhoused neighbors where they're most comfortable to receive care. So whether that's in different encampments, in the woods, in different soup kitchens, we have many community-based organizations we partner with. So we have soup kitchens, for example, at Safe Harbor, at Conference of Churches. We work with Verbal Community Inc. to meet patients where they are. We also have a veteran health program where we have specialized wraparound support of folks that understand the benefits and the complexities, you know, of coordinating the healthcare system for our nation's veterans. And we service all veterans, whether you're a patient of Valley Health Partners or not. We also have licensed clinical social workers that are behavioral health specialists and are specialized for veteran health care, as well as behavioral health specialists integrated in all of our primary care settings. So community health centers really have a holistic approach to care, right? We're addressing root causes of poor health. So any new patient that comes to our four walls, we complete what's called a health-related social screener so that we can understand any social barriers to care. Do they have food insecurity, housing, transportation barriers, things that ultimately are going to impact their ability to advance their health and wellness goals? And then we have multidisciplinary teams within our practices that address the social barriers, which include folks like community health workers who can also go out and meet the patient in the home. Because sometimes we're not catching everything within our four walls, right? And we need to go beyond the four walls to understand what's happening in the home. We're in the Valley. There's a lot of asthma in the Valley. We serve a lot of kiddos. And often if the mom is doing well with the child's care plan and child's still not getting better, we got to go into the home. And it's often environmental. And there's more, right, that we need to address. And then we have behavioral health support in all of our primary care practices so that the behavioral specialist is working directly with the primary care physician to address both physical and mental health. And in our community, more than half of the patients we serve are Latino, Hispanic, where there is a mental health stigma. And we've heard from many of our Hispanic community members of, thank you for having behavioral health in my primary care doctor's office, where I don't have to tell anyone I'm going to see the therapist, right? And actually, many of them now bring their spouse or family or friends because they see the difference in care. So the model is to provide care that's culturally appropriate, linguistically appropriate, meets patients where they are, addressing root causes of poor health, focusing on chronic conditions, early detection. We have great outcomes. Valley Health Partners was recognized in the top 10% of quality leaders in the nation.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We're very proud for second year in a row.
Yeah.
And our foundation is strong. You know, our community practices have served the Valley for decades. So our roots do come from LVHN. And credit to them, you know, they had created what they didn't realize was a community health center model. And I had oversight of many of these practices under the network for years. And when I didn't know about FQHC, so they still are best kept secret. And so thank you for allowing us to have this platform because we are safety net providers. We are a critical resource to the communities we serve. And we do amazing work. And so when I learned about the health center movement, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like, leaving to a health center if we don't become a health center. Because it's a national movement. Over 300,000 people work in community health centers. We are all mission-driven. We really care about the communities that we serve, and we have common values. That's why I work well with NHCLV and Star Community Health. I love all their leadership. We meet collectively with politicians and really advocate for the work that we do, and we all share the same language and the same mission, and that's at a national level as well. So it's been a gift for Valley Health Partners to exist, to transition these community-based practices into a separate entity model that really just focuses on community health. And that's the health center model, is to be in community with community. And we don't do the work alone. We do it with many community partners. So Valley Health Partners has over 120 community-based partnerships with CBOs, community-based organizations, government agencies, school districts, all have a shared mission to serve the community.
120.
Yes.
And you've got 30 sites?
Yes, we have 30 sites with 17 locations, meaning some of our locations have multiple sites in them. It looks different in every community. So, for example, in Monroe County, it looks different than Allentown, right? They're not as resourced. And so we have to be more creative in those spaces. And then we just enter the Easton market. We're in the south side of Easton, which is a medically underserved area.
Right.
Dental Desert, and we are offering dental, vision, primary care there, a pharmacy. We're the only pharmacy in the south side of Easton. They had one pharmacy, CVS, which closed in April. And we just open our doors. So we're so proud to serve that community. We're partnering with Cheston Elementary, Paxinosa Elementary. We have a behavioral health specialist at Cheston. We're now offering mobile vision as well in Easton, which we've been doing with the Allentown School District. So it's seeking to understand the needs in our communities and how do we meet them even beyond our four walls. And that's the health center model. As we get to, for example, our street medicine program, we can actually bill for those services. That's a program that still doesn't make a margin. Uh-huh. But the fact that we can bill for the service under the FQHC model, because we're a safety net under Medicaid, we can bill for services beyond our four walls, right? We have some guardrails we have to follow. Mm-hmm. But our street medicine team can provide primary care and bill for that service. So under our model, we've grown our street medicine program to have a community health worker, to have a behavioral health specialist, to have more of those wraparound support services. And we added a third provider. So we have a nurse practitioner and two physician assistants that are part of our street medicine program.
I'm tired.
Yeah. I can keep going.
It's an extraordinary range and depth of treatment, and we're not aware of it. Most of us in the Lehigh Valley are not aware of this, and it's under siege. It's traditionally has received significant support from the federal government, and we're not sure what's going to happen. And so we all need to really reflect on this and take action, either in terms of local philanthropy or in terms of political activism, just to assure that our representatives are aware of this need in our community and responding to that need. Our Congress is in the past has stepped up and given these organizations, you know, a modest amount of money. We're talking not even a rounding error on the $5 trillion annual national health care expenditure in the United States. I mean, we're talking about $5 to $10 billion, which is, you know, less than really 1% of our budget. And look at the work that's being done the substantial work that to be done addressing the needs of a population that we want to bring out of poverty. Most of the folks that are being treated here are at 200% of the national poverty level or below. And so we're really addressing a community need that we all understand is a need. And all we want to do is continue. It's the most efficient, one of the most efficient parts of our inefficient healthcare system.
And it's such a holistic approach. I mean, you're covering everything within that, and you're actually building up the community through the work that you're doing, because you're making citizens healthier, which means they can contribute more or be more active within their community.
And we're led by our patients. So one of our requirements as a community health center is that the majority of our board of directors must be consumer board members, patients who receive care within our four walls, who are connected to the communities we serve and understand the needs of that population. It's a very unique model.
How many board members do you have?
I have 12.
Oh, just 12? Okay.
Right now, yes.
I'm thinking one for each location. Oh, my goodness.
Yes,
that's
it.
a lot to take care of. Yeah. So as we move forward into this sort of unknown, as the coming year is going to be with funding for a lot of government programs, what is your suggestion, Richard, as to how we should proceed if, as a listener, I'm hearing this and thinking, what can I do to maybe help support this effort? Because health is one of the basic needs of everyone. And we have to make sure that we're providing an environment that encourages people to be healthy.
I think the first thing to do is for the community to the community consciousness to be raised. I know that the Lehigh Valley Justice Institute, which is now a part of the United Way, is doing a study of the benefit and the cost of these healthcare centers in the Lehigh Valley. And that report is going to be, I think, issued sometime in the first quarter of next year, probably February, March timeframe. There are interns with public health degrees that are conducting the surveys and doing the data analysis. And so at least we'll have a pretty much a definitive snapshot of what these healthcare, and it'll be an independent, nonpartisan view of what the benefits are and looking at also the cost of, you know, expenditures in the area and what our vulnerabilities are. And I think hopefully the United Way and other philanthropic organizations are sensitive to the need here so that if there is a shortfall, and I think we should also look to our hospitals. Our hospitals have multi-billion dollar budgets. And can they, and we've asked them to dig pretty deeply when it comes to a number of these issues and to be involved in the school system and at somewhat of a loss to them in terms of the finances. But and I think we're going to have to ask them again. And then there's the whole phenomenon of who ultimately, if there isn't a philanthropic response, who's going to pay for this?
Well, absolutely. The impact.
I think it's going to come to the business community because that's what happens.
Yeah.
The business community is now paying 2.5 times Medicare in terms of reimbursements. So maybe it goes up to 2.7 times and it takes care of this problem. But that's sort of a real foolish way of doing things in the United States.
It's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So we're very interested in this, and we just got to gain some knowledge, and we've got to come to this sense that something needs to be done and make a commitment to do something about it.
Yeah, well, the Lehigh Valley Justice Institute has done some really amazing work. And I'll be anxious to read that report because in light of the fact that it's going to be looking at how effective and responsible this is to our community, what happens if it goes away?
Right.
You know, what's the impact on the community? And you sort of said that it's going to come to perhaps the business community to be able to help hold things up.
Right.
Okay. Veronica, if a listener would like to do something, you know, they're charged and want to do something, what would you suggest their action be?
Yeah, so I think our website is probably the best step, valleyhealthpartners.org. And so the website has all of our information from sites, locations, if you want to donate, if you want to volunteer, if you want to work at Valley Health Partners, it's all there. And certainly if folks want to reach out to me, I'm more than available to speak to anyone. I have a great team as well. So whatever fits for them. But the website is a good starting point.
Listeners, we're going to have to wrap up. This has been an amazingly fast show. We have more questions to ask, and we're not going to get to them tonight. Let Veronica and her team know how you want to get involved and what your questions are. Thank you, Veronica Gonzalez. Richard Masters, thank you for being here again at WDIY. We appreciate all that you're doing here.
What a pleasure.
And listeners, I want to thank you for taking the time, and I want to thank you for thinking about this and taking it to the next step beyond tonight's show. So what can you do to help continue these support systems and community health for our community? You can listen to this on WDIY.org, WDIY podcast, WDIY app, and you can listen to other public affairs programming at WDIY. I am Sally Hanlon, and this is WDIY 88.1 FM. And we'll see you next time on Wellness Lehigh Valley.